This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Spain is
Holland. Everybody knows windmills come full circle.
No, you will have useless claws at some point.
Yeah, the medicine will have advanced.
Low Boys here, coming at you live through the power of the internet. Boogie 2988. What was that?
I said, that's going to be fun to edit.
You're not supposed to.
I love it. Yeah. I was hoping to just go with it.
So I did want to make a quick announcement that our podcast is actually changing. We are no longer ever going to talk about games or nerd shit anymore, because as we've established, video games cause school shootings.
Yeah, that's true.
100% in every country that they're out in.
Yeah.
Not just the United States.
Thank God we're not still in... Ethan's still in school. Wait a second.
Ethan, you have to drop out.
Guys, don't worry. I'm the shooter.
You have to drop out. You're the shooter?
I'm the shooter. Don't worry.
I'm fine. You just want to put that statement on the internet.
just don't kill yourself when you're done.
Yeah.
Because then that's still... the same problem.
Yeah, that's true.
So instead of video games, today we're going to be talking about some video games that I like very much. It's Battletech. We're Battletech 2. We're back into Battletech.
These ones are great because there's no violence in them.
Especially that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because at no point did we think, you know, we should just bring guns into space.
Yeah.
I started asking friends about Battletech. Apparently the online Battletech game, like, it's really fun, but it progressed to the point where it was so hard to keep up as a new player that it was like really inaccessible. It was like only the people who really played it were there. Like there's a bunch of, you had to manage like the electricity output, like how many parts you had on, like a bunch of different variables. And if you didn't know the game and just started, you would get
so lost. Battletech has always been very much about like heat and weight management.
Because
you need to make sure your mech doesn't get so hot it shuts down on the battlefield, because that will happen.
Yeah, I know.
And then you got to make sure that you have enough tonnage balance between armor and weapons, but also remember your engine takes up space as well as the internal structure. So like it is incredibly complicated.
Yeah, no, it was. I remember playing Mech Warrior and it was like, it's all like about picking the right parts you want for the type of style you want to play.
Pretty much. When I was growing up in Mech Warrior 3, I played a sniper mech a lot. I used PPCs and like lasers a lot, because I always play as the Mad Cat, which is like basically kind of a split between energy and missile weapons.
What are BBCs?
PPCs? BBCs? It's a British Broadcasting Corporation.
Okay.
It's also big black cocks.
Yes.
Oh.
You heard it here first, kids.
I'm familiar with the second, but not so much the first one.
What's the weight to heat ratio
on a BBC?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I said PPC.
5 to 1.
Yeah. On a PPC?
Yeah.
PPCs are fairly light.
People penis cock.
Yeah, people penis cock. they're 6 tons, but their heat output is ridiculous because it is a lightning gun.
Oh.
Yeah, it shoots a bolt of lightning.
Neat.
Very cool.
So from where we left off, from what I understand, I couldn't remember, so I listened to the end of the last episode.
You listened to this podcast?
Yeah.
Dude? What the fuck?
Can you do like a summary or something of like what we did last time? Like a quick run through?
What was our best goofs?
The funniest thing we said is definitely the stripping mechs.
The stripper mechs
and the bird bits that pelt at them. Mm. Yeah.
Bills.
Yeah. Bills. The sea bills.
The sea bills.
Sea bills. That was definitely the hottest goof.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just a quick recap, I guess, of the last episode. If for some reason you are a barbarian and didn't listen to it, if this is your first episode of the Lore Boys podcast, it's episode 30, so you might want to go back and get 29 other ones in your system before you get ready.
Or you can just listen to this one and have a great time.
What? Yeah. Okay, fine. Why don't you just like start at a random episode of The Simpsons, you fucking savage?
That seems like a fine idea.
No, how do you start with Bart against the babysitter, or you don't watch The Simpsons
at all? Not at all. Honestly, yeah. Exactly. The Simpsons roasting over an open fire is a Christmas episode. It's the first one, and then you go from there.
No, it was the clip on Conan originally.
It was on...
Conan or...
No, Conan was a writer.
Yeah.
It was on It's a Lady's Name...
Oprah Winfrey.
Yeah, it was on the Oprah Winfrey show.
Yeah, so Matt Groening and Ellen DeGeneres were both on Oprah at the same time.
That's why
The Simpsons premiered in 1987.
That's why The Simpsons is an O Network exclusive. Mm. Because it originally aired on the Oprah Winfrey show.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know what Oprah's doing anymore, and I want to ask.
She's in A Wrinkle in Time. Her new movie just came out.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
I read that book.
She's acting!
Eons ago.
She has an Oscar.
That was a little taste of acting for you guys.
Yeah, it's like... Acting means deafening anyone who's listening.
Being louder and with a slightly different voice is acting.
To be honest, I spent a lot of time with theater kids. Some theater kids are insufferable in public. Like kids that will break out into song because they just think that's an appropriate thing to
Peter,
do.
Why you gotta talk trash about me?
Why you gotta hate on me? I had a supervisor who would always like take the opportunity to go into a radio voice anytime. Like, hey, can you pass the announcement sheet around?
Oh, the announcement sheet here on 101.1, the VMs.
Like, 101.1.
Get at you with the announcement sheet.
Live recording. DJ
is
a kid.
He wasn't even good at it, but he always was looking at you like you wanted to have a round of applause for him afterwards.
And he always did.
Yeah. It's quarter to nine at your office job, dog. Let's not pretend to like.
It's quarter to nine on a Tuesday. You're like, fuck you.
But
dude.
No, every time we're trying to be funny, it's really funny.
Well, yeah.
Especially that. I can't hear people laughing, but I'm sure they're laughing right now.
Wait, let's all wait and listen. Yeah, there they are.
There they are. Yeah, it's like, do you see where the monkey is? Yeah. Fucking Dora the Explorer shit. Anyway, so in the last episode, quick recap, the Battletech universe is in the inner sphere. We actually got a very polite correction on YouTube.
Okay.
I thought it was a universe. It's not. The inner sphere is still within our galaxy.
Galaxy.
Okay. Yeah. It's thousands and thousands of planets.
That makes a lot of sense.
It does make a lot more sense. I was overambitious.
Galaxy is too far.
Yeah.
Galaxy 2 is too far.
No. Mass Effect Andromeda, they made that mistake. They're like, what if we do a new galaxy?
It doesn't work without
And then everybody lost their job.
The mass relay.
No.
Thank you, kind YouTuber.
Anyway, just a galaxy, that's it. That's your credit. It's your writing credit. You'd be at the end.
Yeah.
Wow. So the inner sphere... Big part of the galaxy. Bunch of human colonies out in space.
Mm-hmm.
Really difficult to govern because you can't communicate fast enough, so it descends very quickly into chaos.
And it was like Telcom who had their...
Comstar.
Comstar who had their lines.
Yeah, the HPG, the hyperpulse generator.
They got rich off of war because they could sell information to both sides.
Correct.
Like that.
Yeah. Yes. And then they got their own military, and then we stopped... Yeah.
Oh, and then they beat the Clan Mechs eventually.
On Tukiid, exactly. That's where we stopped yesterday. Yeah. And that's going to give a quick recap of that. Clan invasion, because Alexander Kerensky, who was leader of the Star League Defense Force, was just like, fuck this gay Earth, and he left.
And his son died.
Son took over and then started the clans, which was Nicholas Kerensky.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then finally the clans decide to turn around after... using all their crazy science and technology and not fighting each other, reinvade the inner sphere from the periphery.
Okay.
And stomp everybody's shit in because they have way more advanced mechs. They have super soldiers, which we'll get into, and they also have better weapons.
Okay.
Right. They have much more flexible omni-mechs that can put a weapon wherever you need it.
They have interchangeable parts.
Exactly.
Yeah. They invented plastic.
They invented Lego
out
in the periphery. And that's where they are now.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the Battle of Tukiid in 3052, where the Comstar military, which is basically just like if your local internet provider also had the most powerful military in space, and how fucked up that would be.
How fucked up that will be.
Exactly. Yeah.
If there's a battle mech for our local video internet companies, it would be called Videotron.
It would. Yes, God, please.
That's a Quebec internet company for anyone in from the States.
Yeah, because we are recording from Rimouski.
Yeah.
Finally.
Yeah.
I've been meaning to come here.
Yeah, to Rimouski.
We move around a lot. So on the Battle of Tukiid, the clans finally get stomped, and they're in their cocky little nature, they're just like, oh shit, wait a second. And Comstar is like, okay, boys, listen, you can come back to your genocide thing in 15 years. And they're just like,
oh yeah, I remember this.
Right?
Yeah,
remember, they get their shit stomped in. Like, 15 years, you can't, no further. You cannot Yeah. Not one. Don't you fucking I Love Lucy cross this line in the sand or whatever. Yeah. That's fucking
Gilligan's Island.
Except the line you cross is slaughtering a people.
Yeah, it's like a planet full of humans.
Yeah.
But yeah. I'm pretty sure that was on
Island. That's like the island from Gilligan's Island.
Exactly.
Where you remember that time that Gilligan was going to kill everybody on the island?
Yeah.
They drew that line in the sand.
They're like, give us 15 years, Gilligan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the professor ended up making the coconut radio and he radioed for help.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I remember that from an extremely goofy movie. Where the hot librarian that Goofy falls in love with loves Gilligan's Island. Old 70s bullshit.
I'm missing all these references. Like, Gilligan's Island is old for us, right?
Yeah.
I feel like our Evans and our Diamonds are going to be like, what the fuck is a Gilligan's Island?
Yeah. Old man Jamie over here is looking younger every day.
Yeah,
holy
moly. Exactly.
Nobody's going to get it. The kids don't like good TV anymore. They just want to talk about video games.
Yeah. With their Atari Pac-Man. Nintendo Sonics.
The Nintendo Sonics.
The Nintendo Sonics.
They got their Nintendo Switch, and they keep bringing it in the van with them.
That sounds like a really bad sports team.
The Nintendo Switch?
Yeah, the Nintendo Sonics.
Oh, yeah, that's true, it does. The Nintendo Switch would be an even worse sports team. So all the clans decide, fine, we'll stop wrecking your shit, except for one. And you guys remember who that is?
Smoke Wolves. Smoke Jags.
Smoke Jaguars. Smoke Jaguars. They're just like, yeah, I don't want any of that. But who are... Who are the Smoke Jaguars?
They're the cool jaguars on cigarette packs.
They do sell cigarettes to kids.
Yeah, they advertise to children.
Now I'm remembering.
Yeah, they come in. So instead of using chemical weapons or Omnimax, they come in, sell smokes to everybody in high school. And then when they're finally adults 15 years later, they're too frail to fight back.
Yeah.
Because they don't have the cardio.
Well, and the Smoke Jaguars are like, we're not going to sell you any more cigarettes. Unless you roll over and let us slaughter you, and they're like, we're addicted. We can't help it.
Yeah, I think I need to drink to remember past episodes, because all of this is feeling like new information.
Is it like a dream?
Sober. Yeah, exactly.
Isn't there a thing in neuroscience where it's like, if your brain is in that state, you're more likely to remember if you're in the same state again?
Exactly, so. If you study drunk, you should take your exam drunk.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. There's some advice for you, kids.
That's why I live my whole life drunk. I don't want to forget anything.
Exactly.
At this point, I'm too invested. I've had too many good memories.
I forgot too many things already, so if I just stay drunk.
Birth of my daughter, my first three weddings.
Yeah.
I forget this stuff.
I mean, we were so drunk today moving all my shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
I never want to forget that.
Yeah. No, I'm just gonna leave it all where we left it.
Driving my daughter home from the hospital, driving her to her first day of school.
Yeah. Driving her to the hospital, I forgot that car wreck for some reason.
Yeah.
That part I don't remember.
That guy cut me off, that son of a bitch.
Yeah. And we just slammed into him.
Yeah.
He was parked.
Yeah.
There was no one in that car.
Yeah.
It was just, you don't have
a daughter.
It was just a bunch of grocery bags. You got so mad at them.
Yeah. Well, fuck all those grocery bags. They cut me off.
So them Smoke Jaguars.
Yes.
Right?
In space.
Hard-hitting.
Yeah.
What am I talking about?
Hard-hitting.
I quit. I'm not going to do this anymore.
Okay, bye.
Hard-hitting.
Don't you mean quiddle?
Hard-quiddling, hiddly-diddling, rootin' and tootin' and totally unforgiveling the weakness of others.
Okay.
Yeah. Smoke Jaguars quickly established themselves as the most brutal and aggressive of the clans out of 20, I believe we said.
Okay.
We will cover this eventually. I know the same YouTuber who gave us the quick correction did say he wanted us to cover more shit. He or she, I guess. Probably a guy. We will.
Sexist.
Eventually.
Yeah, sexist. Really sexist.
Women don't like mechs.
Come on.
What?
I'm kidding. Probably.
Probably, yeah.
I haven't done a poll,
women
so I wouldn't
like
really know.
Yeah. The BattleTech universe... mechs aren't designed with like the harnesses that hold you in them aren't designed to accommodate a woman's breast.
Well, not all mechs. Hashtag not all mechs.
Not all mechs. Well, the Omni mechs do because you can just switch out the seatbelts. But in the inner sphere, they were just like, I don't get it.
Yeah.
My wife just can't fit in her fucking mech.
Yeah.
The seatbelt's too tight on her boobies.
That's it. They need like the Canyon Arrow F series.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mechs.
It's one of those mechs that like just
the
flips over.
Yeah. One of the rocket launchers is like a lipstick holder.
Oh my god, guys.
Spray if champagne.
If we had any female viewers, thank you for sticking around.
We do have females.
I think they can take a joke.
I hope they know that we're joking. And it's not us that does this, it is actual corporations that are doing this to you right now. And we're pointing it out to you.
Correct.
In case you weren't aware.
If you can't laugh at yourself.
Yeah.
Misogyny is alive.
Satire.
And well.
Well, it's something.
Yeah, and healthy.
It's like, this is the perfect example of it's well, but not good.
No, that's true.
Yeah.
It's like a murderer who gets over a cold. He's alive and well, but not good.
Not good, yeah. Exactly.
Right. Well, you get it, right?
That's quite the analogy. Yeah,
good it's a good example, right?
Yeah, I think something like that.
Originally led by their founder, this is the Smock Jaguars.
Yeah, this is the guy that betrayed the other guy, but he cheated, right?
No, he's dead, and he was from clan something else. They were absorbed by, it was like Diamondback or something. They okay. They during when he they accidentally killed Alexander Kerensky when he came into like put down the rules of like the circle yeah. of equals. He got blown away by accident.
He just blasted him. And
then Wolf absorbed. I think it was like Wolverine or something like that. Okay. I can't remember. Go back and listen to that episode. But yeah, they absorbed that clan.
Okay.
Yeah. Episode 28, I think.
Somebody tweet at us before we're done the episode.
Okay. Quickly. So I feel like this is like, we've touched on a lot of things, but to start off, we're talking about
the Smoke Jaguar specifically, right? Yeah.
Okay.
So, originally led by their founder, the Con Franklin Osis.
Franklin Osis?
Franklin Osis. The Smoke Jaguars leadership would continue to set extreme standards.
Like a lung infection.
Or a disease where you turn into a cartoon turtle.
You learn to tie your shoes and count by twos.
He couldn't tell time up until that one episode, though. Yeah, exactly. Fucking idiot.
Yeah.
Con Franklin Osis, the Smoke Jaguars leadership would continue to set extreme standards for their members of their warrior caste.
Stream like this coffee.
Dude, you need to be good at snowboarding, snowblading especially. Those are the little skis.
Yeah.
Little skis, right? And if you can't do a backflip on your BMX and land perfectly, you don't get a mech.
You don't get a mech.
No.
Wait, what are you relating this to, though? I missed like the sentence that led up to this.
He said extreme.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, it's got to
be extreme.
I wrote extreme here.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I see it.
The only thing you can fucking drink is Diet Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, I got
it. Or Mountain Dew.
You
can do the Dew.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's true. That's the extremist.
That's the extremist.
Yeah. Do they even sell that?
I don't do. Yeah.
Maybe my eyes just ricochet off it when I see it in the stores, but I can't remember the last time I saw Mountain Dew.
When's the last time you saw Mellow Yellow?
No, that's a lot.
Oh, I have no idea.
Diamond on the stream asked me who would win in a fight, Mellow Yellow or Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew obviously would win.
Yeah,
it's
a mountain.
Yeah, and it's also more carbonated.
Yeah.
More power.
It's a mountain's worth of dew.
Mellow Yellow is in the name. It's mellow. Mountain Dew's
mellow.
Extreme.
Mellow wouldn't fight. Yeah. Wouldn't even put up a fight.
Yeah.
He wouldn't even know what was happening. Fight be over before he even stood up. Too stoned. Probably.
Probably.
Or has brain damage. That's why he's so mellow. He's like...
Like Mountain Dew's friends with Doritos. What's the chip that would be friends with Mellow Yellow? It would be like...
Bugles?
Yeah, probably.
Funyuns, maybe? Funyuns.
I've never seen a Funyun. Ringolos?
Ringolos, yeah.
Any of those Humpty Dumpty chips? Humpty Dumpty Party Mix, maybe? Because it says Party Mix, but really it's not that good.
Yeah.
You're just looking for pretzels in there.
Yeah. Oh, no, dude, I'm the opposite. I'm the pretzels.
The Cheeto, man. The Cheeto and the Ringolo. You put a couple of Ringolos over your Cheeto.
Like, you got the little tiny nacho chips.
Like a napkin holder? Like a napkin holder?
Okay. That's a ring on a finger.
That's the way to go.
What if you had Cheetos for fingers? How would your life be different?
My face would constantly be orange.
I wouldn't have fingers.
Typing would be difficult. I wouldn't be very good at my job.
Yeah.
You know who was good at their job? Jamie Segway.
Nikolai Skorinsky.
He's not about... No, he's
John Krasinski from The Office.
Long dead. John Krasinski, long dead. Rest in peace, John.
Rip.
Anyway, Conos' lust for battle led the Jaguars to many victories in the clan's early days, and his vision of the Jaguars being the ultimate warrior clan inspired his troops to greater feats of prowess on the battlefield, assuring their prominence among the clans. His goof troop, exactly. Goof troop, baby, goof troop, goof troop. That was a theme song, right?
No.
Was that something
else? That's Love Shack.
Yeah, Love Shack.
That's Love
really?
Shack by the B-52s.
I'm not sure. B-52 is a drink. And
yeah, come on, Jamie.
Not a plane. Not a plane.
Definitely not an airplane.
It might also be the theme song for the Goof Troop. I don't think so.
No.
So Clan Smoke Jaguar was easily the most violent and aggressive of all the clans. They were, however, not as brash as the Jade Falcons, who you may remember from the 80s cartoon.
Skraa! I remember you guys talking about
that. Yeah.
They were quicker to battle, but also quicker to think before acting, somehow. they just very quickly came to the decision they wanted to fight. And
yeah,
then,
they were quicker at that.
Then just very good at it. So this made for a deadly combination. Now, I mentioned this to you guys. This is going to be a mixed canon, lore boys canon episode.
Yeah, lore boys canon.
Because the games are, the wiki says, apocryphal.
Yeah.
So they're not necessarily canon, but they're not non-canon.
Yeah. And this is going to be like the marble cheese of the story, and like the orange parts are real, and the yellow parts were kind of just like filling it in, but at the end, it's all delicious.
Exactly.
You very much like marbled cheese.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, this is the episode you're getting.
Yeah. The fuck. Sit down, shut up, and enjoy.
Shut the fuck up. You're on the bus. What else are you going to do?
I just can't. Everybody who's on the bus, stick your hand on the lap to the person to the right of you.
Yeah.
And you'll know if someone puts your hand on your lap. That,
you got a Lore Boys fan.
Yeah. Can you imagine they do it at the exact same time?
Imagine if those two people ended up getting married. That, like, they met listening to Lore Boys on the bus.
Oh, I love this. That'll be the second Lore Boys wedding after Peter married the person who made their art.
Oh, yeah, yeah. After Peter married Diamond, yeah.
Fuck, I still have to do that.
Well, no, you gotta wait 4 years, so.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, thank God.
No, he's 13. Okay. 25, yeah.
Well, maybe I'll just die in that time, and then I can get out of it. That's the only way to get out of a wedding. I'm just gonna fake my death. I'm gonna cut up my face and move away.
It is gonna be a shotgun wedding. I'm gonna be behind you with the shotgun.
Not if you can't recognize me. Idiot. Then, so, 30, that was just a little bit about the Smoky Jays, right? Little, okay. Little, some little Jaguar.
Jays and the JDFs.
Little Jaguar action. Exactly. Yeah, the Jade Falcons. I'm not really talking about them right now. They don't do much in the games. Okay. They feature, obviously, they are the main antagonists of the TV show.
Yeah, yeah.
But one day I'll do an episode about the clans where I will go into much more detail about them individually.
Specifics, yeah.
Specifically, exactly. Jade Falcons. What is a Jade Falcon? Is it a real animal? Is it a decoration? Who knows? Is it just because everybody has a thing and then an animal in their name?
It's except not a real wolf? Animal.
Jade Falcon?
Jade is a type of stone.
You ain't never been to space. What if they got falcons on some other planet?
Stones can't be animals. And how could they have falcons on another planet?
I think it's a Led Zeppelin cover band.
It'd be Jade, like, Falcon? Jade Falcon? Yeah. Oh, dude, they'd be bad. Yeah. There's some band I heard recently on the radio that does sound like a really bad, like, Led Zeppelin tribute band.
Wolf Mother?
Nope. They have a name. It's, like, named after a lady, I think. Mm. It's, like, Bernadette Ross or something.
Yeah. Diane Keaton's three.
So then, so in 3052, we're back now. Battle of Tuk'Yid, Comstar stomps the clans. In 3058, Smoke Jaguar Khan Lincoln Osis was elected as Ilkhan, which you'll remember as the Khan of Khans. He's God King of the Khans.
It's Genghis.
Yeah, Genghis.
Genghis. Genghis Khan.
Genghis came through at Genghis Wayo.
Why do they call him Genghis Khan? Because he can do whatever he wants.
Exactly. Can, I'm an ill can do attitude. Ill can do attitude.
We're ill can, not ill can.
Yeah, exactly. What? Comstar told us to stop fighting for 15 years. Are you a con or a cunt? And then he immediately went back to war.
And then Immanuel Kant got upset.
Yeah, he's been dead for 1,000 years. Who cares? Yeah. Also, not too far off, because Lincoln Osis very much was a condu kind of man.
Okay.
And was just like, wait a second. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. That's 15 years, right? And then immediately tried to start invading the Inner Sphere again. We waited 6 years. Which,
wait, what?
Everybody else was just like,
wait, 6 is 15.
You counted wrong.
Yeah.
Stop it.
By the time anyone can travel to tell him difference, it will be 15 years.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's like the Khan of Clan Wolf gets a letter. He's just like,
yeah, yeah.
We gotta stop him.
Yeah. I mean, like,
gets in the car.
Yeah, yeah. There was like a rounding error in his nuclear clock or something.
Yeah.
It's just like off by 7 years. Or
yeah, he's like, checks his watch. He's like, oh, okay. Blinks, looks away, looks back at it. It's like 9 years in the future. He's like, oh, all right.
Yeah. The con dude, okay. The con dude sees him coming, so has to run his genocide machine backwards for a while.
It's like, oh, shit, I missed a trillion daylight savings times. Just throws the clock away.
It's the daily savings times that really gets you.
Yeah, really, especially in space. Yeah.
Which was last night for us as well. Yeah,
yeah, exactly, which is why we're also just doubly tired, because we're... Whatever. I should still be asleep. Lincoln Osis was known as a clan elemental. They are genetically modified super soldiers. They're bred over dozens of generations. So kind of like the Grineer from Warframe, except not shit.
Not so inbred?
Not quite so. Not clones of one guy. They're genetically modified super soldiers. That's just kidding. Superer and superer.
Superer and superer.
They're pretty big. They're about 2 to 2.5 meters tall and disproportionately muscular.
Okay.
I will show you a picture of a clan elemental later, and you guys can find it on the Sarna wiki.
They're like the Rock.
It's a picture of a lady,
okay,
who is just disgustingly jacked.
Okay.
And Lincoln Osis, if you look at him, he looks like somebody inflated a garbage bag and wrote a face, like drew a face on it.
Let me just stop you for a second. The image of a female Dwayne The Rock Johnson has me so engorged right now. It is painful.
That's why you closed your legs up.
That is why my legs.
With that one picture where he's wearing the fanny pack and has the gold chain and stuff.
That chick would be just so too fine.
Stop.
So fine.
Stop.
Lincoln, however, was 165 kilograms. He was considered huge even for a super soldier, even for an elemental.
Oh, you said kilograms, and I thought pounds for a second. I was like, wait, what?
He's 165 pounds. Ridiculously huge.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, okay. I'm like 145.
Yeah,
I'm nothing. Yeah. There's also suits of combat armor called elementals as well.
Okay.
No relation.
Weird.
Yeah.
Is this like a game canon versus... BattleTech canon?
No, I was looking at it on the wiki. I couldn't really figure it out. Clan Elemental is a super soldier, and Elemental Power Armor, excuse me, is a little jetpack power suit. It's got two missiles. It's got a laser hand, and it's got a claw.
And it wasn't like the Inner Sphere guys trying to like copy them.
No, Elementals are Clan Tech. Both the super soldiers and the suits,
okay,
are both Clan Tech.
Okay, weird.
BattleTech is the world that we're in.
It's the brand.
Yeah.
BattleTech was the tabletop game. MechWarrior was the video games, okay, and that's where we said the video games are apocryphal. So
yeah,
the two canons don't perfectly line up, I guess.
Okay.
No, exactly. But like I was saying, we're gonna get into a specific event that's not covered very much by the tabletop. It's all in the games.
Yeah.
So a year later, in 3059, Lincoln Osis intended to resume the invasion immediately of the Inner Sphere,
okay,
but Khans Martha Pride and Vladimir Ward of Clans Wolf and Jade Falcon were just like, whoa, 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 whoa. They succeeded installing his planned assault for 6 months. They were like, hey, well, let's all just take some time to get organized.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, okay, fine, whatever. Intended as a period for the clans to settle the challenges and make preparations, the delay was engineered by Pride and Ward to undermine Osis as Ilkhan. So they were just like, King of Kings, a little too dangerous.
Yeah.
I don't like him. One of us should totally replace him. Or maybe we'll just work together, right?
Right.
We could have two God Kings.
I smell a betrayal.
Or God King and God Queen in this case, right?
Yeah.
It works.
I smell a betrayal.
Think you could have two gods that work together perfectly?
I don't think two people who aspire to the rank of God King
work
well with any other person being on the same level.
No, I know. But you're right. In encouraging fighting amongst the clans, the Inner Sphere would have more time to prepare for the Jaguar onslaught, and Osis would have had a harder time fulfilling his mandate.
Yeah.
Unbeknownst to all, the delay would also allow for the destruction of Clan Smoke Jaguar and cost the life of Osis himself.
Oh, shit.
So, Clans Wolf and Jade Falcon didn't really intend for him to get killed. They just wanted to undermine him.
Yeah.
But then the Inner Sphere, not being staffed entirely by blind people, were just like, we got time.
Hey, we got a sec, guys. Yeah. Guys,
we got a minute here. We can prepare.
Hey, you guys seeing this?
Yeah.
Maybe we should go back to the drawing board. I do love the imagery of like this like mad king going to war like before the truce is up, and just his advisors being like, "Sir, look at this Rubik's cube."
Yeah.
And just being like, what is this? And then just like doing that for like 20 minutes, and we've done that. Like, sir, I just ran you a bath. Like,
okay.
Well, I guess I could use a bath right now. Just doing that for like 6 months straight. Like,
what was I doing?
Yeah. What was I on about again?
Were we good?
And then, yeah, and then he turns on the TV and it's like his own Smoke Jaguar is doing like a news story on like the Inner Sphere. He's like, oh, yeah!
Oh, I forgot. Like, still naked. Like,
running out of the bathtub.
Mr. Osis!
Yeah.
No!
Mr. Osis, you have a phone call!
Yeah.
It's your mother! Like, bad time.
His mom is also huge.
What's going on? What did Jerry do?
His mom looks exactly like him, but just with like lipstick and curlers.
hold on. We got to stop the invasion. My stepdad's being a jackass to my mom.
So the destruction of the Smoke Jaguars took place in the Inner Sphere operations Bulldog and Serpent. We will be covering Bulldog.
Bulldog.
Yes. Serpent, when I clicked on it, the wiki page is like 8,000 words.
Okay.
I think that deserves its own episode. I'm
Sounds
not
like,
going to get into it
okay,
now.
So there's two operations within this, what?
Water in the knee.
This is, exactly. Is it water on the knee?
That is just so confusing. I'm confused already.
You said operation.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No,
I thought of the board game by the Hasbro? Parker Brothers.
from Parker Brothers. I don't know. Brothers.
Okay, so Operation. You're saying there's two things. There's Bulldog?
Operation Bulldog, yeah. And Operation Serpent,
okay.
Were the code names, yeah, for the counterattack by the Inner Sphere against specifically the Smoke Jaguars.
Okay, cool. That makes sense.
Yeah, you know, you have like whatever, Operation blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
That sort of shit.
Okay, cool.
Excuse me. Cool.
Water in the knee.
Water, yeah, in the
water
knee.
In the knee.
Water.
So while not specifically canon, Loreboy's canon, the real-time strategy game, which is available on myabandonware.com that I downloaded last night while I was doing this research,
you told us to download
Mech it. Commander and its expansion Desperate Measures, along with Mech Warrior 3, all take place during Operation Bulldog.
Okay.
Yeah. Operation Bulldog was a military code name for the phase of the Star League offensive against Clan Smoke Jaguar starting in 3059. It was aimed at liberating the clan's occupation zone in the Inner Sphere, led by Precentor Marshal, I don't know how to pronounce that, Precentor Marshal Anastasius Focht and Archon Prince Victor Steiner Davion.
Okay.
Now, Victor Steiner Davion's an interesting character. He has a hyphenated name.
He's got a wicked name, I gotta say.
We had the houses Steiner and Davion, which were two of the five great houses, and after the Fourth Succession War was over...
That was before everyone left. It was all houses, right?
Exactly. Okay. But then Steiner and Davion had a marriage. They had a son.
It was like
Victor Steiner Davion. He's a really, really important person.
My son's going to fuck your daughter, and then we can be cool kind of thing.
Basically, yeah.
Like, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then who came from that was, what was the name again?
Victor Steiner Davion. He's a prince. Yeah, yeah. He's a marriage between the Federated Sons,
yep,
and the Lyran Alliance, which are Steiner and Davion,
respectively.
Yeah. No, flip that. Excuse me. That was
that's very confusing.
And these
way
two
to say.
These two families were Smoke Jaggers. Are they?
They're Inner Sphere.
Okay.
They're non-genetically modified roid freaks,
okay,
who have shitty technology. But they're the two great houses of the Inner Sphere. They're not clans. They're not from the periphery.
Okay.
They are descended directly from Earth and are not super soldiers.
Gotcha.
Victor Steiner Davion is, for all intents and purposes, a regular prince,
okay,
because he has human parents from just different planets.
He's but very important.
He's just a regular
incredibly
old Jim.
He's going to be part of the FedCom Civil War very much, which will be some other episode, not this one, because we're talking about the clans.
Awesome.
Talk about the Smok Jaguars. So the assault succeeded beyond their most optimistic hopes, thanks in large part to the lack of preparedness on the part of Clan Smoke Jaguar and no help from their fellow clans.
Okay.
So they got too rowdy. We all have that friend. Sometimes we've been that friend where we all just want to have some fucking fun, and we just get a little too big for our britches, and everybody's just like, Peter, you're making a scene.
Yeah.
Ethan, put your pants back on. Jamie, get out.
Yeah. Yep. Ethan, we're leaving you. If you don't get up right now, we're going to leave you in that gutter for the night.
Basically that.
And then I'm just screaming, fuck you.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah. That was the Smoke Jaguars in this situation here. They were just like, whatever, you guys want 6 months to prepare? Fuck you, we'll do it by ourselves.
That's it.
And all the other clans were just like, well, we weren't going to help in the first place.
They're like,
I don't even fucking need you. I can fucking take out the Inner Sphere by myself. You guys are fucking bitches and I don't need you.
I am Lincoln fucking Osus, guys, look how big my face is.
Yeah.
I will show you a picture of him. He is so gross.
Yeah.
I am fucking... I'm going to just do this by myself.
Yo, like, who the fuck you think you are? Some kind of bouncer? Like, fuck you, man.
Turns out he was dead within 4 months.
Wow. That's a good parallel, too, because that drunk guy always gets his ass kicked.
He always does.
Handily.
Sometimes he takes his shirt off first for some reason. and then he just gets his ass beat.
Yeah. I always think, like, the armor of your shirt, if you're going to get thrown down on the pavement or something, is worth way more than the minor flexibility you're going to get while punching.
It's not flexibility. It's a psychological
thing. Yeah.
You fuck with their mind. You're like, this guy is willing to go to any length, including risking getting a road rash from being thrown onto the pavement.
He doesn't think he will.
On both his nipples.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Oh, man. I've never lost my nipples. I don't want it.
I had a substitute drama teacher who was also a skateboarder. And he was like really, really good. But when he told us a story that when he was practicing one time, he bailed super hard on one side of his body and actually scraped off one of his nipples.
Oh, damn.
No,
sounds like this guy needs to commit to his landings and to his profession. Substitute teacher?
Yeah. What happened to his pro skateboarding career?
Turns out it doesn't pay the bills.
Yeah.
So he just found like half another job
to
substitute his other half job.
Well, he can only get half jobs.
You heard me. Substitute teaching is half a job.
Yeah. he can only get half jobs now because he has half the number of requisite nipples.
So. His love life is a nightmare.
Yeah.
Half jobs left and right.
Jesus Christ. Anastasius Focht was a scion.
Who did she fuck?
Anastasius Focht.
Pardon?
He fucked the smoke jaguars. I'll tell you that.
He fucked him.
Is that the name
one there right there?
Yeah, Focht.
Anastasius Focht. There's actually an explanation as to why that's it, because I'm going to get into him. He turns out to be incredibly important, and he'll have another bigger part of another episode.
Nope.
All right. Remember the name
Anastasius Focht.
Easy, right? So easy to remember something like that.
Yes. Anastasia sounds like a stripper name, and Focht is what a lot of strippers do.
For money.
It's Anastasius.
And it's a dude.
Anastasia, yes.
It's an old scary man with an eye patch.
Oh, yeah. I've never heard that name before.
Anastasia.
That sounds like my kind of stripper, if I'm being honest.
An old man with an eye patch?
Does he have like a rough, like 5 o'clock shadow of like,
no,
like silver hair?
Clean shaven, but he does have straight white hair.
Yeah.
Oh, think dang. Old Geralt with
yeah,
an eye patch.
Oh, be still, my beating heart.
When he eats, he's got to chew on the good side.
Yeah. Which, weirdly enough, is under the eye patch.
Yeah.
So he's always kind of leaning over. It's very odd. Yeah.
Oh God! I hate mouth sounds. I'm sorry to everyone who has to listen.
I can see it. I can see it on the timeline. Oh, there it goes. Oh, he's gone. He was a scion and military leader for House Steiner, and was also deeply involved in a failed coup against Archon Katrina Steiner by Aldo Lestrade, which we didn't get into, but we will, just for the record.
One of these days. There,
one of them.
Martha.
One of them's days, exactly. And then the repentant would-be rebel volunteered to lead the 10th Lyran Guards in a suicidal attack against the Draconis Combine, which was another one of the Great Houses.
Okay.
So it was a supply base, which generally it would greatly contributed to the to averting a Combine counterattack in the 4th Succession War. So this is all hints at other episodes. Please try and take notes, children.
Yeah.
The test will be in a couple weeks, I guess.
And the Combine are the bad guys from Half-Life.
They are.
So what? As someone who just wants to like casually learn the story, I'm probably going to forget that name. But
okay.
I'm going to hold on to
That's
Anastasius.
Okay. That's why we've got a bunch of different episodes about
yeah,
this. Now,
exactly.
Believed to have been killed, who is this now? Frederick Steiner survived as a Combine prisoner, and he was later handed over to Comstar, who sought a capable and experienced leader for their Com Guards. So the Com Guards are the military force who defeated the clan on Tuk'id in 3052.
Okay.
Under his new identity, Anastasius Focht.
What?
So, believed dead, disappears, comes back with a more complicated name.
And an eye patch.
And an eye patch.
Cool.
Anastasius.
If you're ever going to disappear, the best way to come back.
I literally mentioned this earlier. Cut up my face.
Change, yeah, exactly.
Change my name.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, like I love the idea that he took out his own eye.
Oh, man, everybody remembers me for having two eyes.
Yeah, that's it.
Why did I just grow a mustache? He's already started.
Yeah. Superman didn't use that as a disguise.
Yeah, right?
Instead
of glasses, carve out an eye.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Do you guys know that Superman also would compress his spine whenever he was Ken Clark, so he was shorter?
Huh.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Which muscles you gotta flex?
It's true as the comics are.
Okay, fine. Fair point.
He flexes his super
back muscles?
His alien muscles. Because he's an alien.
Yeah. Mm. You know, it's weird. You and Superman are the same height.
Yeah.
It's just like looking directly at Clark Kent with glasses on looks exactly like Superman wearing glasses. Then he like leaves the corner store and like passes the like crime measuring stick and he's just like,
wait a second.
You know, Clark.
You're the same height as Superman.
I know another guy who's just about 6 foot two.
I think lots of people are 6 foot two. I have to get going.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of people are 6 foot flies away.
Yeah.
It's like, weird how he always leaves like that.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That's doesn't make another link.
I hope your rash gets better.
Yeah. How did he see through my shirt?
Superman's dumb New Jersey best friend.
Yeah.
That's
fucking
a show.
Steven.
Okay. I've made it clear that I don't watch a lot of superhero movies.
Yeah,
if
but
any, I would watch that one.
Would you watch Jersey Steven? Where he just like Superman's idiot friend?
Yeah.
That'd be a good sitcom.
I do like the idea that
patent pending. Lord Boys.
I do like the idea that Victor Steiner was like he was just like a rich guy who thought to have died in battle.
Oh, it's Frederick Steiner.
Frederick Steiner, sorry.
Yeah.
He was thought to have died in battle, and then he comes back, but he thinks he has to change his name for some reason. Like, he doesn't just go home. He's like
literally royalty.
Yeah. Like, he could just go home and everything would be cool. He'd probably be celebrated as a war hero. But it's like, nah, I'm just going to go fucking fight for I'm going to go fight for AT&T.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know what?
They've been paying him the big bucks. You know what I mean?
Dude, they had nothing but
you know what?
Sea bills to spare.
It was probably a conflict of interest for a member of the royal house to be working with. You know, it'd be like, I don't know, the ex-CEO of a major telecom working for the FCC or something.
That'd be
like
absurd.
That. Yeah. No,
yeah. Or like the ex-CEO of a big pharmacy company.
As the U.S. Secretary of Health.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
That'd be fucking
just a massive conflict of interest.
It'd be ridiculous. Yeah. Good thing those things don't happen.
Yeah, no. I mean, even in this fantasy world.
Exactly.
But also in our real world.
No, exactly. I mean, this fantasy, I'll buy the laser beams, faster than light travel, and walking tanks.
And the complete lack of interchangeable parts.
Exactly. But that other thing you just said about government people, totally, no. That would push it over the edge beyond the periphery of believability.
I hope that in this world they still have Lego, so like there's kids who are doing interchangeable things.
That's how they discovered it.
Kid was playing with Lego, and he was like, "What did you just do?"
Yeah.
And the kid's like, "Daddy,
it's like the taco shell girl from the old El Paso girl.
Okay, no, let's do it.
Yeah, that girl, yeah.
Why not both?
Yeah.
Or like, imagine if every time he was just like, "Daddy, I want to show you this." He's like, "I'm busy. I can't look at your dumb toy shit."
Trying to make a new mech from scratch just to like change one finger on the old one.
Yeah, he's just like, "Wait, do it again. Do it again. Do what you just did."
Daddy?
One of those really inspirational commercials where you've got the guy like at a drafting table with a bunch of blueprints, like, throw it all off.
Like all out, it's like showing all hours of the night. You just see like power tools going off in the background. Comes out in the morning like all pissed off, like, "Oh, it didn't work." Just throwing mechs out into the dumpster outside of his house. Like, over his head.
Another long night, Dad.
Yeah.
With like this sweet little girl.
sitting
at the table eating her Cheerios.
It's like a guy like just like scrawling madly on a paper with like lamps, and then in the back there's like just a kid taking arms on and off of robots.
But Dad,
what did you just do?
You did it. He's got her up on his shoulder while they're drawing. Anyway, Omnimechs were invented by a little girl.
There it is.
Lorboy's cannon.
Yep.
Gotcha. You owe me a Coke.
Not a little girl, powerful woman. That's what we say now.
Not when she was six.
Nope.
Yeah, no. They're all powerful women.
No.
They're all beautiful and powerful women. You're a beautiful, powerful woman. Jane,
now you're just...
Hey, whoa, hey. Where the fuck was I?
Peter's like, whoa, wait. I don't know how to feel about this.
Yeah.
What's the right way to feel?
Yeah. Anyway, they thought he was dead.
Where were we?
Yeah. That was going to explain what Anastasius Focht meant. That's it. Got him.
It an anagram?
It is an anagram.
For hot anal sex?
It's an anagram for Frederick Steiner.
No, it's not.
Oh. No, it totally is not.
I believed you, dude.
I was like, there's no R.
There's no R in Frederick.
Anastasius.
Did you just say there's no R in Frederick?
Yeah, I'm an idiot.
Also Steiner.
I had Trouthmubble. I'm just
That's brain trouble, but yeah.
No, Anastasius is Latin for reborn, and Focht is German for he who fought.
Oh, I thought you were
saying past tense form fought. Of fechten, which is fencing.
No, that's like the jelly.
It's
the sugar that you get from fruits.
Focht?
Affectin. It's actually pectin. That's a bit of an intellectual joke.
Missed it. I guess I'm just too stupid.
If no, that's Ethan's thing. If no one laughs at his joke, oh, that was an intellectual joke.
It's a bit of an intellectual.
Anyway, under his new name, he was the precentor marshal during the clan invasion and the Battle of Tukiyid.
You keep saying precentor. Is it presenter?
It says precentor.
Okay, I can't see the screen.
I think it's precentor. Like he's the precentor. He did it first.
Yeah, I didn't put it into a speaking spell. I just fucking copy pasted.
Yeah, like precedent, but he's a precedent.
What's precedent?
Like precedent, but shorter.
Like president, but shorter, yeah.
Yeah.
Precedent.
So he was on the Battle of Tukiyid, working for the Calm Guards, and he helped defeat the clans in 3052.
Okay.
Also, at some point, he is noted for his role in the schism that led to the origination of the Word of Blake, who would go on...
to do a jihad.
The jihad.
Which we were really keen on learning about last time, but we're not learning about this.
But it turns out Operation Bulldog was too long,
Peter knows how to string him along.
I cut it for time. Yeah, exactly.
He's like, "I keep coming back for more." But you should have said that we're not doing the Blake Jihad at the end of the episode then.
Okay, I'm an idiot. I'm sorry.
Yes.
I'm less interested in the teasers, and I just want to know what's going on now. So what's going on?
Cucked again, listeners.
Yeah, exactly.
We have the leader. We've established that Friedrich was the leader of the Comstar army, Com forces. Whenever they defeated the
clans on Tukiid in 3052.
And we established who he was during the clan wars. He was working for the houses, but then he disappeared and went mercenary, basically.
Yeah. Okay. Well, he works for AT&T.
Yeah.
Exactly.
AT&T, that mercenary company.
Yeah, AT&T, the mercenaries.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got the Blackwatch and AT&T. You got Blackwatch, Overwatch, and AT&T.
And then we very quickly touched back on Victor Ian Steiner. Davion was the eldest child and first prince of First Prince Hans Davion and Archon Melissa Steiner. He was named in honor of the successful conclusion of the Fourth Succession War and Hans's late older brother, Prince Ian Davion. As the first child of Hans Davion and Melissa Steiner, he inherited the most powerful realm in the Innersphere, the Federated Commonwealth, or FedCom, which, again, I've mentioned in the past.
Yes.
The Federated Commonwealth being the combination between House Steiner and Davion, which would be the Lyran Alliance and the Federated Federated Sons, excuse me.
That time in the correct order.
Exactly. Respectively.
Okay. I'm following you.
Yeah. Now, despite being non-canon, the games have much more information about Operation Bulldog. So Mech Commander, the RTS, tells a story of Zulu Company from the Federated Commonwealth's first Davion Guards that was largely responsible for taking back the planet of Port Arthur from Clan Smoke Jaguar.
It's a good thing that the Zulu Company did it because there was nobody left after them to do it.
There's two other companies. There's X-Ray and Yankee, I think.
Okay.
Anyway.
They started at the end of the alphabet.
Things didn't go well up until that point. Let's just leave it there.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, anyway, you play as Colonel Reese, and you take command of several lances from Zulu, Yankee, and X-Ray companies, you beat the game.
Colonel Della Reese from Touched by an Angel?
Exactly.
Okay.
It was him. He's still alive in 3059.
It was she.
She's still alive in 3059.
D-cuts today.
You should look up the opening cutscene for Mech Commander, because this is a late 90s RTS game, and before you ask, yes, it is all live actors.
Oh, I love that red alert
and
shit.
And it is shot entirely in Dutch angles.
Oh, I don't know what a Dutch
What's
angle
a Dutch
is.
Angle?
Dutch angle is
that where you like
slightly askew, like Battlefield Earth. Everything's crooked.
Oh, I thought it was when you put the cameraman under a blanket and farted under there.
No, that's not that.
Wait, why is it a Dutch angle? The Dutch people like...
Maybe it's racist.
Is it really bumpy
tweet
there?
Tweet it.
It's all hills.
Yeah.
It's all hills and homes.
Yeah.
Why is it Dutch angle? I don't know.
They're known for their rolling
This
hills.
Isn't the Dutch Angles
and
podcast.
Windmills and
Lore tulips. Boys.
I recently went to Amsterdam.
I know
everything there is to know about the Dutch people.
Did you meet Don Quixote?
Spanish, but no.
He fought a windmill.
He did, which the Dutch people are known for.
Exactly.
Comes full circle. Spain is Amsterdam. Spain
and
is Holland.
And everybody knows windmills come full circle.
You don't have to explain windmills to people.
Exactly.
These people aren't idiots, okay? They can download a podcast, they can understand a windmill. The expansion pack for... Anyway, that's it. You just, from Clan Smoke Jaguar, you beat the game. There's not much that goes on. It's an RTS. There's not a whole lot of context for anything. You click on things, and your things shoot other people's things.
Okay.
Yeah, and you win.
That's why I like my games.
Yeah,
when
winning. The expansion pack, Desperate Measures.
Desperate Measures. Yeah.
The expansion pack, Desperate Measures, immediately after the liberation of Port Arthur, Zulu and Yankee companies are sent to liberate the desolate planet of Cermak in the periphery. So they turn the fuck around.
Okay,
they're
why?
Just like, okay, we come back in. Oh, but they don't even know. They don't even know yet. It was taken by a renegade Smoke Jaguar Star Colonel named Marcus Coterre.
And they're almost wiped out at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Almost. Who are we playing as going after the... Or, like, just who is going after this planet at this point?
The Jade Falcons and the Wolf.
No, it's Colonel Reese. And he works for... in Mech Commander, you play as Colonel Reese, and you are working for the Federated Commonwealth.
Yeah,
which is the joining of the two houses, Steiner and Davion.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Sorry. I know I'm throwing a bunch of crazy fake words at you guys.
I just hadn't played none of the games, and there's so many names that I'm like... I'll ask you, though.
It is good to recap, just in case anybody else who's listening is just like, okay, I'm unclear as to who Khaleesi is in this whole thing.
Yeah. I assume all of our listeners are much smarter than us and able to follow a simple story.
I should hope so. There's that go backwards 15 seconds button on the iPhone anyway, just in case you missed something. if I'm speaking too fast or not enunciating enough, which has been a problem for me today since I'm exhausted. But it's okay. Every time I read this shit, I'm just like, I fucking love Battletech so much. Every time I'm on the wiki, I'm like,
I get that, dude.
It's so cool. It's so fucking cool. I can't believe I've had to wait. The last MechWarrior game came out in 2002. MechWarrior 5 is coming out this year. It's been 16 years.
16 years.
And
we have listeners that weren't even alive the last MechWarrior game that came out.
No, and I was playing it. On a PC that was older than me at the time.
That's it. On Windows 98.
Oh, yeah.
I hope not ME, anyway.
No, not ME. I never had ME. I went from 98 to XP.
Yeah,
and then to
like most
Vista people. And 7 and then 8 briefly, and now I'm on 10.
Yeah, I went from 95 to 10.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Bit of a jump.
And stayed. Actually, I reverted back to ME because that was the best one.
Yeah. Yeah. It was the most reliable, definitely.
It goes ME, then Vista, right?
Oh, yeah, man, Vista. That's some prime territory right there. Anyway. But why would Zulu and Yankee be sent to a desolate planet in the periphery? Remember, the periphery is not colonized. What the fuck is the matter with me?
Colonized.
Nobody on Cermak gets a colonoscopy.
Okay.
It's not colonized.
Smoke Jaguars are anti-colonoscopy.
But we got Marcus Coter, who works for the Smoky Jays, He's going to show up. He is the character that was briefly featured in MechWarrior 2, which I have not played yet.
Okay.
I want to because it is, of course, on Abandonware.com, but I think it's a DOS game, and I'm not 100% certain I'll be able to stomach that.
Running a DOS box and then setting
well,
it all up.
Not running a DOS box. Controlling a DOS game.
Okay.
Right? Because I've tried to play like Elder Scrolls 1 and 2, like Arena and Daggerfall, which is on DOS box, and I've tried to play System Shock 1 in DOS box. It's all fucking mad wonky. Yeah. And I have a bunch of like old free games on GOG, like Ultima and shit. Like, they predate when game design considered people might have hands they'd like to use in their
That's
gameplay.
It. Cool at the time didn't age well.
Not at all. Yeah. So I might try it out because I know like the MechWarrior 2 and Mercenaries and the Ghost Bear Legacy are all supposed to be fucking great, but I have not played them.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah. So yeah. Anyway, all I got was a report that there's clan smoke jar activity on these units, and we don't know what their objective is. Over the course of Desperate Measures, you capture 3 Jaguar officers and interrogate the ever-loving fuck out of them.
Okay.
Because they end up giving up some information.
You tickle them till they tell you.
Imagine how much you have to tickle a super soldier for them to tell you where their boss is and why he's there.
Okay.
It's a lot of tickling.
That's a lot of tickling.
It's a lot of space waterboarding, actually.
It's a dirty job, but if someone's
got to do it. They actually just strap him to a table, and then they just dump mech coolant over his face. Like, you're going to talk, you buff bitch! It's like, blah, 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 blah.
If you guys want to see an interesting thing about tickling, go look up the tickling ring online. There's a really dark history to tickling competitions. I'm not going to go any farther than that. Go check.
That's a different episode.
All run by that one guy, Victor Manns or whatever he is.
Some German guy
runs all, like, worldwide. Every competitive tickling league there is run by one guy out of Germany.
Some journalist tried to get in there and, like, say, like, hey, like, what's going on here? And he's like, you know what? I don't appreciate you snooping around. And you know what? We're not gay. And
then, I didn't ask that, man.
Yeah, exactly.
I just wanted to find out where the washroom was.
Yeah.
Stop asking so many fucking questions.
The journalist was openly gay, and the guy was like, we don't want any homosexuals having anything to do with our competition because nothing about this is gay.
But the journalist did not even mention
he
that
didn't
he
mention
was gay.
The guy looked him up and like saw that he was gay. Like,
okay.
Yeah.
It's all very funny and good.
Yeah, it's an interesting story.
Different episode about the next episode of the Lore Boys, Tickle Fighting.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what you're hosting?
Oh, yeah.
Tickle
Fights? I'm going to become the tickling podcast.
That's it.
Tickle Boys.
So what you guys want to wear is skin tight short shorts.
All right.
And nothing else.
Yeah.
And then we'll be ready.
I won't shave anything but my mustache, just so I'm ready for here.
Perfect.
We'll all have mustaches.
No, you have to shave. They only want clean shaven guys.
Yeah.
Little dolphin boys?
Yeah, you want to look as
they
young
want
as
me.
They want to look as young as possible, which is really messed up.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it's a very dark past. Like Diamond, don't look it up. Everyone 18 plus, please.
Yeah.
Maybe get a VPN.
Yeah.
Maybe VPN that search.
But after being tickled almost to death.
Almost unto death.
Almost it.
Getting tickled while having radiator fluid poured on
just
their
just
poured
all over your fucking
waterboarded
face.
Waterboarded onto their face.
Yeah, exactly. Just remember, think about what this coolant for a mech must be like, because it has to cool down a lightning gun to the point where it doesn't immediately ignite the mech with the pilot inside of it.
Mm.
It's crazy. It's crazy. It's so fucking frosty.
That's not easy.
No?
What is a lightning gun made out of? Rubber?
I don't know.
Because it's a metal mech.
You know what? It's a tabletop game. It's a tabletop game. There's probably a 3,000-word wiki page about the ERPPC explaining what it's made out of.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know what? I'm not going to cover that. That is not going to be in a future episode.
It could just be like a test.
Because you know what? You know what's not important? That.
That.
Or maybe you, like...
How do you aim a lightning gun?
So maybe the lightning gun, like, I know, this is not conjecture. How it happens in-game, but this is, like, how I would imagine
yeah.
it, is that you shoot, like, where something that's very, very conductive onto wherever you want to shoot, and then the lightning comes out, like, and bridges. It's attracted to
oh,
that, right?
That's cool.
Yeah.
That though, I don't... That's not how an ERPPC works, because yeah. I know it... Yeah, I know it's got... It's built into the mech.
Yeah.
But that's actually a really cool idea to have, like, a taser where you have, like, a copper wire harpoon that you then just, like, zap something yeah. and then, like, pop the trigger out. That'd be actually kind
that's,
of...
That's how they work.
That's probably how a lot of fun... tasers work. Yeah.
Yeah, well, no, exactly. But I'm like, if you plugged a taser into a mech and then, like, yeah. shot a trillion
wireless,
volts into it.
Like, some, like, little sticky sphere that it was so conductive that lightning yeah. had no choice but to go
they
to
They tune
that,
their lightning yeah. to a specific frequency. It'll only go to that.
Yeah.
That metal.
I was just imagining a guy, like, just like some infantry guy who's like standing in the middle of a field and then he just gets hit with like this little pellet and he's like, oh, what the fuck? And then like a lightning bolt hits him and he just explodes.
Oh, I love that.
Like next to his buddy who just gets covered in mist, just like,
yeah.
ah!
yeah.
The fun part is though, you don't even have to shoot the lightning gun right away. It's kind of like the laser on a sniper. You can just let it linger there for yeah. a second. Yeah.
Like the dot on the forehead of the police officer who on which I served for jury duty in that Craigslist assassination
oh,
ad.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Look it up. It happened. I yeah. was on the jury. anyway, the interrogation is revealed. So the Smokey Jays that were that's just what I'm going to call them from
the
now
SMJs.
On. Yeah, SMJs. Yeah, who were interrogated were captains Star Captain Rathburn, Star Captain Delaney, and Star Captain Coolin.
Okay.
So a Star Captain, as we recall, a star of mechs is five mechs.
Okay.
It's the guy who's in charge of five mechs.
5 points of a yes. star.
A galaxy commander commands several star captains. How many, I do not know. But a galaxy commander has multiple stars.
I hope it's five.
Like five and five. You think there's one guy's in charge of 25 mechs?
That's how the Romans did it, didn't they?
Maybe.
Yeah, know. What were they called?
A legion was 100.
Legion, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, Marcus Coter, what he wanted to do was dig up an old cache of nuclear and biological weapons that were interred on Cermak. He was going to use his dropship engines as a drill. So he was going to land a rocket on
and
top of a
it,
bunch of nukes.
Like
and
strap the rocket, like duct tape the rocket to the ground and just fucking run the engine on it.
Yeah. Just oh like scraping around on the
yeah,
ground
exactly,
like a feet. Yeah.
yeah.
So dropships.
There's like a bunch of guys with those, you know, like animal control. They have
the
like,
hoops.
The hoops on the end of sticks. They got the bottom of the rocket. Like,
yeah, oh my God. That's amazing. That's a good visual. Fuck. He was going to use them. Anyway, that's what they're going to do. Then Zulu Company shows up. They defeated Kotera's reserves at the staging area, destroyed the industrial facilities used to convert the dropships engines into drills, and then destroyed the drills themselves, killing Kotera in the process.
Okay.
Went cool. down with the ship. Dropped with the ship.
Like a good captain.
Pun done. Show's over, kids. Get out of here.
Yeah,
go home.
It was a dropship.
It was a dropship. Yeah.
So whenever, you know those videos, like you see in school of like a school bus, like the evacuation type
yeah.
of stuff you have to do? If there's ever a train coming... the bus driver is required to stay on the bus as soon as
yeah,
he goes down with the bus.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
and he, the leader of the Jade Falcons at the time, had seen. They all have to watch those videos.
Yeah.
It's mandated by their insurance company.
I know it's because you watch the fucking
telecom.
Cartoon. It's the Smoke Jaguars,
yeah.
not the Jade Falcons.
Oh right, yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Because you watch the fucking it's the Smoke Jaguars.
Yeah.
But yeah, they do. It's like you got to play Mech Commander Desperate Measures.
Yeah, exactly.
And at the end. You just remember. You remember Marcus Coter, man.
Yeah, yeah.
You remember him. You remember his face.
Yeah, you remember his sacrifice.
Yeah, remember his
as he tried to crazily drill into a planet
one
for
like,
the nuclear reserves.
Yeah, like, one like equals one prayer.
What a hero.
Picture Marcus Coter. So this was known as Operation Minotaur. And then after the success of the operation, a Comstar disposal squad came in and to dismantle the weapons graveyard and its contents.
Is okay. Operation Minotaur like within Operation Bulldog?
No, Operation Minotaur was the operation that led to the death of Marcus Coter and
okay.
his crazy rocket drilling operation.
Okay. So Comstar and FedCom are good. Because you said Comstar comes in and cleans it up. But
yeah,
FedCom went and killed
Well, Comstar is AT&T, remember?
Yeah. And FedCom is the house.
Good is a word that you could use.
Because you said FedCom was the armies that went to go fuck him up.
That's a Federated Commonwealth. That's the two great houses.
But then you said Comstar was the ones that cleaned it up.
They did, yes.
So I guess they just like... They just saw a profit there. They're like,
well, they came in. They exactly.
They
came
just have
in
a room like, with a bunch of like very valuable radioactive material. And they're like, doo, 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 doo.
Yeah, exactly.
So like, they're good. If capitalism is good, they are.
Yeah,
good.
Yeah, exactly.
Just the communications monopoly with their own currency are objectively the good guys.
Okay. Yeah.
Obviously.
That makes sense.
Right.
Makes sense,
yeah. In no way will this lead to some sort of horrible catastrophe.
No, yeah, yeah,
and
no.
In no way will they just control the message where they were just like, yeah, exactly. They showed up and just like, don't worry, guys. Don't worry. Government,
we've got
the biggest broom and the biggest rug to sweep this under.
Exactly.
And then they just started sweeping.
Yeah.
And then they were just like...
And then the government was like, hey, maybe you shouldn't do that. And they're like, we also have the biggest army. Don't forget. And the government was like, ooh.
Oh, yeah. That's right. It's like, we defeated the clans. And they're like, oh, excuse us.
Yeah.
Suppose we'll just stay in our lane then.
Yeah.
We'll go back to bickering, I suppose.
That's it.
And then you guys just do... You and Mr. Blake, you guys take care of yourselves, right?
Yeah.
It's like, who needs regulation, right? Am I right, guys? Yeah, we're in the periphery. Who cares?
The free market will regulate itself.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, it's like, what? What's that? It's totally fucking fine.
Yeah.
So that's it. Humiliatingly, so this is where we start to combine canons, game, and tabletop.
Okay.
Humiliating, because Osus... Franklin Osus is not in, or Lincoln Osus, is not in any of the games.
Oh, okay.
At all.
Okay. Yeah.
That's why it's mixed canon.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, but I'm putting
it's
things...
Loreboy's canon. Yeah.
I'm putting Loreboy's canon, mixing things in what I perceive as chronological order.
Yep. Okay.
All right.
I just spilled coffee on my dog, and she left.
Loreboy's
right.
canon.
Anyways, yeah. Sorry,
she
guys.
Sure did.
Yep.
She's going into the room where you smashed your bottom. Fucking idiot.
broke my French press in half right before we started. It's going well.
So the Jaguars were driven out of their occupation zone in just 4 months.
Man,
even
things
worse,
happen
yeah.
fast.
Yeah,
like,
holy
moly. Yeah, dude. Well, when you've got enough time and none of the other clans helping out,
yeah.
and like they'd been fighting them, right? Like, remember it was like 4 or 5 waves of the clan invasion. Like, the inner sphere was fucking jacked.
Yeah, yeah.
They were fucking jacked up, and they were still kind of recovering. And then when they wanted to turn around and come back 9 years later, they had nothing but time.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They were just like, okay, we're fucking ready. We're going to go.
Let's do it. Yeah,
7
yeah.
years later, rather, excuse me. And then you're like, all right, we're going to do it. We're going to do it. So they just stomped them.
Okay.
Stomped them. They're like, listen, you guys are fucking out of line. You got to die.
Yeah.
If Nick fucking Alexander Kerensky, when he was just like, you know what I hate war and the first mutineers, we're just going to kill them.
Yeah, no kidding.
It's like, okay, fine. Whoa, I guess that works.
Yeah. Look at your legacy.
Didn't we leave for that reason?
Yeah.
And it's like, kill that man.
Yeah.
Dissenter! Dissenter! Yeah. Kill the man standing next to me. Hurt him.
You're trying to upset the peace.
Yeah, exactly. Where was I? Right. In just 4 months, even worse news followed. The Smoke Jaguar capital planet of Huntress itself came under assault from Task Force Serpent, which is not in the games, but it's very important. Because
okay.
In the games, we do not go to Huntress. We
okay.
go to 2 other planets. Or 3 other planets, rather, because we talked about Port Arthur, Cermak, and then we will talk about Tranquil in a second.
Okay.
So their home planet was fucked up. Yeah, and that's what I wrote a note for myself. Task Force Serpent is very well documented, and it's something that I will cover later.
Okay.
While Osus again solicited aid from the other clans, the Grand Council decided that the Jaguars would be left to their own devices, because even for the clan invaders, the Jaguars were a fucking liability. They were just like, listen, dude, you're a real nice guy.
Yeah.
FaceTiming the whole time. It's like, you're a nice dude, but I'm not going to come down there and open the door and let you in.
Yeah.
Just take a cab. Just
That's
take
it.
A cab home. You're not coming back in.
Well,
here.
It's like he's homeless now. He's
yeah,
like,
exactly.
He's lost his home. He's like, dude, man, can I just crash on your couch again? Like, ooh.
No.
It's like...
My girlfriend.
Yeah, no, that's
Martha
it.
Pride is really... She's...
Yeah, yeah.
She's
like down
tired.
On the phone. He like looks over at his boyfriend. His boyfriend's like, no, don't let him in. Don't let that son of a bitch in here again.
Really tired.
Look,
you know,
Todd,
we had a long
just,
day.
Look, Todd's got a meeting in the morning. You know, and last time you stayed here, you drank all our wine.
And you stayed up until 4:30 in the morning.
Yeah, you know.
Just,
and there was a lot of crying and a lot of yelling. And you know what, bud?
Yeah.
We're going to have to say no this time. It's a hard pass. But look, Hope you find a place.
Yeah. So you know where
hope you sleep somewhere tonight. Best luck.
He figured the best thing to do was actually just try and sleep at home. So he went back to Huntress, and he oversaw the defense of Huntress before the arrival of reinforcements from the Inner Sphere. So you've got Comstar, and then you've got the Inner Sphere, and they crush most of the remaining Jaguar forces.
It's like you show up back at your house then, and there's just police tape everywhere, and you move some police tape to sleep in your bed, and the cops show up again later. You're like, fuck it.
Yeah, you lie down next to the chalk drawing of someone you knew, and then just like go to sleep in a sleeping bag. During this fight, he was actually wounded by an assassin outside of his mech. Osa's departed for the holy planet of Stronomecti, which we'll remember has Alexander Kerensky's body in a glass coffin in orbit.
You say we'll remember, I will never remember the name Stronomecti.
Dreamland.
Oh, it's got mech in it, though. That's helpful.
Stronomecti.
It's kind of like Stroganoff. Yeah.
Kind of like that.
It's like Stroganoff.
The first five letters are kind of like
Stroganoff,
that.
Stroganoff meaty.
Stronomecti?
Stronomecti. Yeah. And he goes back with the surviving Jaguar warriors, where they fought and died in the Great Refusal. Osus himself met Prince Victor Steiner Davion face-to-face on the battlefield. The two had a brief conversation about the clan invasion and the depths of the Jaguars had sunk before Osus attacked Victor and forced the prince to behead him with a katana.
Whoa. It's fucking metal, dude.
He was just like, you don't really need a sidearm when you're in a walking tank, but he had a sword on him.
That's such like a weeaboo move.
He probably got it from House Liao because they're the Japanese ones.
Yeah, yeah.
Their house crest is like a green triangle with a katana in it.
Okay.
Don't know where he got the katana, but fucking Lincolnosis beheaded by katana on Stronomecti by Victor Davion.
All right.
Victor Steiner Davion.
It seems like an overreaction, but...
Clan Smoke Jaguar is considered to be no more at this point, and history would consider the clan invasion also ended with the death of Franklinosis.
They've cut the head. They cut the head off the snake,
quite literally.
It's, or I guess the jaguar three times.
It's either like overkill or a really complicated game of Clue,
dude.
I don't know. Stronomecti in his mech was the Fedcom the Fedcom. No, the
Fedcom. Victor Davion is Fedcom. Yeah.
Oh, with the katana.
Yeah, with the katana.
Yeah.
That he borrowed from House Jubilee or
Liao, probably.
Yeah. Yeah. Clue doesn't care where you got the weapon.
House Jubilee. Yeah, whatever. Exactly.
Exactly. Something like that.
I think it's kind of funny. You guys are saying it's overkill. In a game about walking tanks, it's super underkill to kill a guy with a sword.
Yeah, it's like, if you're gonna kill me, you must do it with a katana and take off my head. Yeah. That's a little much.
A gun is easy, dude. Yeah. A sword is, you gotta put some effort into it.
You gotta decapitate a giant man.
Yeah.
And all you are is like some, pansy-ass little prince.
Exactly.
Because he's a normal human, remember?
Yeah.
Dude, I'm not even sure, I could cut a normal person's head off with one swing of the katana.
Let alone a super soldier.
Yeah, yeah. No way, no way.
Yeah, that's fair. Good swing.
I think I could cut a watermelon in half. I'm very frail.
I'm pretty sure you could. I've seen so many neckbeard videos of guys who are very out of shape cutting watermelons in half with katanas.
I have a very particularly, my favorite neckbeard. Is this really fat dude who does test katanas on foam blocks and Costco water bottles all the time? I don't know.
I think I've seen him.
Look him up. Yeah.
So the guy stabs the water jug off the water cooler with the knife seven times.
Exactly. And he does have a neck beard. He's got his weird friend filming him the whole time.
Stay tuned for our next podcast.
My favorite neck beard. Yeah. That'd be a really good podcast titled.
Yeah. Well, there's already My Favorite Murder, which is with Karen Kilgariff and someone else.
Yeah. Somebody else. Who cares?
Stay tuned.
If you guys send us,
where we just shame people,
everybody, exactly. No, if you all send us $1,000 right now, we can quit our jobs and then we will start a new podcast
every day of the week.
My Favorite Neckbeard is the second one. That's going to be your Thursday because you got your Lore Boys on Wednesday.
Yeah.
And on fucking Friday, what do we got? Quickly.
Oh, my fish has grown up. Legs.
It's the Evolution Podcast.
Yeah.
On Fridays, exactly. It's Darwin's Theory of the Weekend.
Yeah.
Because it's a Friday podcast.
Yeah.
Exactly.
On Saturday?
Saturday?
Most unlikely musical instruments, where we just hit things.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just
hit things, strum things.
Yeah.
It's a modern art. It's no talking, we just jam.
Yeah.
Sunday podcast, gotta be religious.
Who let this god in here?
No.
Hashtag blessed.
Yeah,
and we just
exactly. It bless up, and it's we just all we do is just talk over DJ Khaled shit.
Yeah. And we all dress up.
Exactly.
Monday, it's just all of us screaming into the mic for as long as possible.
Yeah.
And it's just called Mondays.
Yeah. The rest of them we'll figure out later.
Yeah.
Tuesday's the Toonie Cast.
The Toonie Cast?
Yeah.
Toonie Tuesday?
We
eat KFC?
We look at each year's minting of a Canadian $2 coin.
When was the first one? In 1999?
Going back to the first one. Hey, tune into the podcast.
I'm taking Tuesdays off.
And no, 1999 is the Nunavut edition Toonie that you're thinking of.
But doesn't the Toonie have polar bears on it?
Oh my God, I don't care.
Sorry. Seabills, am I right?
Yeah.
Anyway, we can now move on to MechWarrior 3, which was my introduction to the series. Operations Bulldog and Serpent are done. Lincoln Osis is dead, and all that's left to clean up is the stragglers. Right now, we're just going in. Since they got, like, you know what? There's two of them left, and I don't trust them. Gotta fucking ghost them. Ghost these motherfuckers right now.
It's like when you're walking on the battlefield in sword fights, and there's the people moaning, and you're just finishing it off.
Pretty much. That's basically it. Yeah. So the stragglers of the Clan Smoke Jaguar are on the planet Tranquil. Two dropships named the Eclipse and the Blackhammer are there to find the remaining remaining Smoke Jaguar forces and put an end to the threat. The small unit is made up of two ships. Made up of the two ships is called the Damocles Commando, and their task is to destroy all mech production facilities, all ammunition and food plants, and hinder any ways the planet could be used as a military base.
Okay.
Scorched Earth, motherfucker.
Yeah. It's kind of noble in a certain way. They're just getting rid of all the weapons.
Funnily enough, eliminating the remaining Jaguars is just a bonus.
Oh, yeah.
Because they were just like, why waste a bullet shooting a guy in the head when you can just burn down his fucking fields and he'll starve later?
Because that certainly doesn't make extremists.
Nope. No, it doesn't.
I'm sure after we burn down their homes, everybody will be super happy to fall in line.
It went perfectly fine.
They start eating each other. And
we do have something called the Jihad coming up, and I'm not sure what it is.
Yeah. Anyway, speaking of things going perfectly well, the two dropships close in on the planet, and then the Black Hammer suddenly disappears in an explosion.
Oh, wow. Uh-oh.
The Black Hammer shot out of the sky by anti-space naval lasers.
Okay.
Yeah.
You violated international law.
The Jaguars may have been unaware, but they were unprepared, because if we remember, they was pretty good at thinking quickly.
Yeah, that was their thing. Think before act.
Cats are nimble. They always land on their feet. Jaguars always have lasers available.
They always think and hit the ground and then realize after.
Yeah. Exactly.
They
think
before they act. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. They don't twist their bodies. They think about twisting their bodies.
Yeah, exactly. The mechs that should have been deployed from the ships are scattered or destroyed, so the player needs to start the game on your own and find some lance mates. So a lance, as we possibly remember, I'm just going to say that because it makes sense, a lance is four mechs.
Which is one less than a star.
And a star is five.
You know what they say, take a star, subtract one.
Star's company. That's it.
Stars Company.
Stars Company.
There's one and one Stars Company.
That's it. Yeah. It takes half a lance to tango.
Yeah.
That's it does. Yeah. That's the idiom. Like we all know. We say that all the time.
Yeah.
So you start advancing through the game. However, you do land what's known as an MFB, which is a mobile field base. So you have these three little trucks. Now, the one that's really, really cool about MechWarrior 3 is your three little trucks, as well as all of your ammo, all of your weapons, and all of your mechs are persistent.
Okay.
If one of your three trucks is destroyed in a mission, it is gone for the rest of the game.
Ooh.
Meaning you refuel and get repaired slower. And if all three of them are destroyed, you cannot refuel.
So you gotta beat the game.
You gotta beat the game with whatever the fuck you had left at the end of that mission.
Oh, yeah.
That's exactly. Wild. Yeah, no, dude, that game's fucking great. Again, it's on my abandonware.
Yeah.
Fucking download. Try and see if you can get it to run. MechWarrior 3 is fantastic.
Yeah.
And they're going to be known as MFBs. Okay. Mobile field base.
Motherfucking beasts.
Motherfucking beasts!
Yeah.
Exactly. You play as Connor Sinclair, whose name I stole for some other work, as a reference, because no one would remember. And you land down in one of my favorite medium mechs. It's called the Bushwhacker. It's a 55-ton medium mech. Medium mechs, I personally think, are my favorite class to play.
Okay.
I find them very balanced. They're quite fast because they are between 40 and 60 tons, I think. And then, that's just some dumb nerd bullshit that you guys know now.
Metric or Imperial tons?
Imperial tons, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, it's TONS.
Cool. That is.
Yeah. Metric ton. Or good imperial tons, rather.
A good distinction. Yeah. Half the weight of a metric ton.
So. Throughout the game, you manage to meet up with your three surviving allies. Dominic Payne, who you find in a Shadow Cat, I believe. Okay. Ipona Rhea, who I don't remember, but I put her in the Avatar.
She's the horse from Zelda.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah. And it's just like, come on, Specter Lance. And there's and she's like, whee! Yeah. It's like, man, you pilot the shit out of that mech.
Throughout the
horse.
Throughout the whole game, there's like a blonde boy with a sword on her back. Like,
yeah, exactly.
And he doesn't speak. And she goes, yeah, yeah! Yeah.
Scrap! Scraw! Yeah. And then you have the other person whose name I couldn't remember. He's the Australian guy. Is Alan Matilla. Fighting through multiple Star Commanders, you finally reach Galaxy Commander Brendan Corbett and defeat him in the Circle of Equals, where he does not betray you. You do fight him one-on-one.
Okay, cool.
He is piloting the Daishi, which is a clan assault mech that is just covered in lasers.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow. Which, of course, but I left this note because I didn't know if he'd bring it up. It's the same place where Alexander Kerensky was accidentally killed in. And now we're just coming up to the expansion pack for MechWarrior 3, Pirate's Moon, which was too hard to beat when I was young.
Okay.
I've never finished it, but it's on my Abandonware as well. Just
cool.
For the record, you can just go ahead and get all this shit for free.
For free!
Free like the podcast. So after the elimination of the last known Jaguars on Tranquil, that's the end of it. Sinclair has been promoted to a colonel and reassigned to a mining colony called Vale in the periphery.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. He's just chilling. There's nothing on the planet but one thing known as germanium. This is a mineral very vital to the Inner Sphere's operations for reasons we'll get into one day, I'm sure. Yeah. And there are numerous mining facilities scattered across the planet.
Cool.
Some handled by House Steiner, some handled by Davion, and some by a corporation known as the Rim Collective, who are basically... I know, it's terrible.
It's my favorite gay bar.
Yeah. The Rim Collective. Yeah. We gotta go, hey, gotta go protect him. Because he got butt pirates coming in. It's Butt Pirates Moon.
Yep.
And then they're coming in for the Rim Collective right now.
Yep.
Everything is fine until some bases report cumulative pirate activity. So Colonel Sinclair is assigned the task to eliminate all pirate activity. Him and his lance, same three people, Dominic Payne, Ipona Rhea, Alan Matilla, fight through a bunch of pirates, and eventually come up against a pirate leader, Susan One-Eye Ryan, the leader of the pirates.
Another eye patch.
Yep, she's wearing an eye patch too.
This one makes sense. At least she's a pirate.
At least she's a space pirate.
Yeah.
Not only pirates can wear eye patches.
And this is it. This is where I wanted to end today. I had to cut this one short because I was getting way off in the weeds how much bullshit we got into just now, and I wanted to get into the FedCom Civil War, but I promise you, next time I cover Battletech, it will be FedCom, because that is
It's a large world, so we got lots more.
Got so many more walking robots
galaxy,
to talk about.
You might even say.
Yeah, you're right.
Large part of the galaxy.
You're right.
Got to talk about the Great Houses, the clans before Smoke Jaguars were destroyed. We'll get into the Dark Age one
Blake
day.
Fella.
I don't know. This Blake fella. Jerome Blake.
Jerome Blake.
Big fucking deal.
Jerry Blake.
Jerry
B.
Jerry B.
Jerry B. and the Jihads.
That's his band.
Yeah. That's his Led Zeppelin cover band.
It's literally the only music that plays on the Comstar radio channels.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Exactly. This is... Jerry B and the Jihads.
Jerry B and the Jihads.
All right, editor,
I wonder if we can get away
out.
With having that as a title on WordPress without getting fucking killed.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah, we can do that. Jamie,
yeah.
If I wanted to kill you on the internet, how would I do that?
I don't know if I want to be stated first after the Jihad thing. That's the first time I've used the word the entire podcast. But anyways, James Miller is my name. You can find me on JAYMILLK64 on PSN or James the Miller on Facebook. I thought you guys were adding me, but it was a bunch of porn bots adding me. I got three new ads with like no mutual friends. Like, oh, I click on them and they're like, it's like zucchini. Meet me up for hot date, zucchini.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
But,
nice.
So add me.
Zucchini was a penis.
Send me some zucchinis. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or whatever they are.
Aubergines.
Eggplants. Eggplants is what I was thinking of.
Other aubergines. Plants.
Yeah. All yours, Ethan. Where can we find you?
You can find me at Ethan the Dead Man on Twitter. You can find the Lore Boys at the Lore Boys.
Yep.
We're loreboys.wordpress.com if you want to check out the blog. We're at Lore Boys Podcast on Instagram.
Yep.
Where you get art updates from Peter.
Mostly.
Yes. Peter, where can we find you?
At Pete O'Donohue on Twitter. Mm-hmm. I manage all the images and shit on that stuff. And of course, we are the Lore Boys on Twitch if you want to watch Jamie play some VR. Now that these two strapping young lads have helped me move, I can start streaming again. I'm not sure what I'll do, but that's it. Huge thank you, as always, to everybody who listens and watches and everything. The support is incredible. But if you want to support us even further, we have one more bonus for our Loreboys Prime subscribers. And Ethan, I believe you could take it away with today's stupendous offer.
Yeah, so we've been doing a lot of different things in between recording episodes. And one of the things we did is we did start a band.
Yep.
We're calling it Jerry B and the Jihads.
Yep.
And our new mixtape, I'm telling you guys, it is so fucking fire. So the first 10 people who subscribe to our $50 a month plan for the Loreboys Prime.
That's tier two.
Will receive
of nine.
A voucher for 10% off the price of our mixtape, which is retailing for $10.99 right now.
Yeah.
So make sure you get at this. You are not going to want to miss this. We will sign it and we will send it.
They didn't let us put it on iTunes.
It's $10.99 per listen as well. You can't just own it.
But. No, you can't own it. But.
Yeah, well, whatever. I mean, this isn't a fucking charity.
We're sending you. We're sending you. It comes on cassette, and we're sending you a cassette for Mission Impossible. Where after you play it, it will self-destruct after like 10 seconds.
Exactly.
Yeah. A big thank you also to JD Max, Sneaky Feet, and Diamond for the donations on Twitch. You're so far our only contributors to the podcast.
Except the Loreboys Prime subscribers.
And the Loreboys Prime, but via Twitch. And we really appreciate your ongoing support.
Can't quit our jobs yet, but we're working on it.
Yeah.
We're always working.
Always trying to quit our jobs.
Yeah.
And that constitutes...
A Loreboy?
Out!
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.